The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is Ezekiel 36 a prophecy about regeneration or transformation of the New Testament believer? What is the New Covenant about? These are a couple of questions for our consideration today on Grace in Focus. Thank you so much for joining us. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. You can find out more about the Grace Evangelical Society, our bi-monthly magazine, and our online seminary at our website, faithalone.org. Also look for our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday YouTube videos at the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. Once again, our website is faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus, and we are dealing with different questions that people have written in or called in, and here's one from EV.
Sounds like an electric vehicle.
That's right. Here's one from electric vehicle, and it deals with a couple verses. Number one, he deals with Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27, where God says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you." Verse 27 says, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." So Ezekiel's talking about water. He's talking about the spirit. And EV basically asked the question, why can't we apply that to Christian regeneration? I think he sees Ezekiel 36 as talking about regeneration in the Old Testament. And why can't we say the same thing? Because Ezekiel's talking about a transformed life. You'll walk in my statutes. You'll do the things that I command you.
Yeah, I don't agree.
Right. Yeah,
he's not talking about a transformed life. He's talking about transformed lives,
like
plural.
Collective.
This is a collective, and I believe E.V. even mentions in his email that this is talking about the nation of Israel, right?
Yes. He says, I understand this is talking about Israel, but he says, he wants to make a connection between this and John 3:5, which we need to address. When Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born of water and the Spirit, which we need to talk about here.
Okay, so we'll pick up John 3:5 in a minute, but let me suggest that it sure sounds to me like this is a reference to the new covenant.
Yes,
the
with
new
the
covenant
nation.
With the nation of Israel, and that's found in Jeremiah 31, Jeremiah 33, 31 to 33, if you, which one is it, do you remember?
I thought it was 31 through 34.
Yeah, or 34, okay.
Right.
So, and I believe this is another parallel New Covenant passage.
Right.
And it's a promise that he's going to write his law on the hearts of the Jewish people, that they are going to be a transformed people. In Ezekiel, they'll be turned from their idolatry and they'll be transformed. Well, yes, it is true. Once the kingdom comes, we from the church age will be glorified and we will be transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And we will never sin again, ever.
Right.
So if what E.V. is asking is there some guarantee of transformation for people who are born again? The answer is yes. But the guarantee is not now. The guarantee is future. Now, we should be transformed. If you remember the word transformed, it's found in two key sanctification verses. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We get the word metamorphosis from
right.
it. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so it's not by the renewing of our behavior that transforms us. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Christianity is a battle for the mind. And as God gives us correct thinking, then our behavior follows. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, Paul says concerning the spiritual believer, we have the mind of Christ. We need to think the way Christ thinks. And in the other key verse that Paul talks about is 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, that is God's word, the glory of the Lord, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, are being transformed, metamorphosized again. We're being changed into the same image by the work of the Spirit. So the Spirit takes the Word of God, changes our minds, and that in turn transforms our behavior. So we can see transformation in this life, but it's not guaranteed and it's not automatic.
And I think that's E.V.'s point, you know, because if I'm understanding the question right, he sees the mistake he's making is not seeing that that's a new covenant for the kingdom, for the Jewish nation that goes into the kingdom
right.
in Ezekiel. And there is a transformation.
Well, even
there.
If he sees that, he's trying to apply that now.
Right.
And how can you read the book of 1 Corinthians and think that's true of every believer in the church of Corinth? That they're all living exemplary lives. Mm-hmm. Were they? No.
No.
Or how can you think in Acts chapter 5 that Ananias and Sapphira had it all together? I don't think so. And in 1 Corinthians 11:30, because of this, some of you are sick and some sleep. They were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. That sounds pretty messed up to me. You know, they weren't thinking of the Lord's Supper as something that we remember the Lord Jesus Christ. They were thinking of the Lord's Supper as an opportunity to eat and drink and be merry.
Right. And now this thing about John 3:5.
Okay, yeah. Now, what is John 3:5?
John 3:5 says that Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and E.V. is connecting this with Ezekiel 36. And he says, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless," now this is the New King James, "one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And again, Ezekiel talks about being cleansed with water and putting the Spirit in them.
Please plan to join us at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. The Grace Evangelical Society's 2024 National Conference is May the 20th through the 23rd. Good fun, wonderful fellowship, recreational opportunities for the younger ones and the older ones, great teaching on the theme of free grace in the epistles of Peter. There's VBS for kids, too. More information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. That's faithalone.org/events. Please come and join us.
I have to tell you that I'm highly influenced by what Zane wrote about this years and years and years ago. I hope I'm getting this all right.
Right.
That he suggests that the water and the Spirit there is better translated water and wind. Unless one is born of water and wind, he cannot enter into the kingdom of. He's not talking about two things. He's talking about one thing. And if I recall right, there's only one preposition that's controlling both of those nouns, out of water and wind. You can look that up while I'm doing it, but I think that's it. And if I remember what Zane wrote in his article, he said that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is presented as water and wind.
Right.
You know, the wind blowing over the dead bones, for example.
This very passage.
Right, right.
In fact, pneuma, the word for spirit, also means wind.
That's the point, that it's born, that he is using, he's talking to Nicodemus, and he says, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things?" So it's something that Nicodemus should know, and it's something in the Old Testament, and when Jesus says water and wind, he's talking about the Spirit, because he says that which is born of flesh is there's a play on words all throughout this pneuma. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of Spirit, you must be born of the Spirit.
Okay, I have a different view. I'm open to what
right.
Zane said. Now I think Zane said something different.
You might be right. I may have gotten that from somebody
else. I mean, I know he said this ties into Ezekiel.
Right.
And I don't think it was this particular passage. I think it was another passage in Ezekiel. But whether it was water and wind or water and the Spirit, they're both found in Ezekiel in reference to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And Hodges did argue that, and he thought that this was talking about being born. I think he took water and the Spirit as together referring to a spiritual birth.
Yes.
Right?
And that's what I'm arguing. Water and wind is being born of the Spirit.
And I think it makes more sense.
Right.
But I'm open to that.
Right.
But, I mean, who am I to challenge the opinion?
Well, I may be
Zane
wrong.
Hodges.
I may have dreamed this. I may have dreamt this.
No. That's what Zane said. But here, look at this. "Most sure I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." To me, the most natural way to read that is born of water is born of flesh.
So you're
born
like natural birth.
Is born of the spirit. Yeah. And when you're born, the amniotic fluid is released.
That's the water.
And the person is born out of water. That's physical birth.
Mm-hmm.
And then spiritual birth occurs when the Holy Spirit regenerates someone. So I think it's most natural to take this as you need two births. Remember, he's talking about you must be born again, although you alluded in a previous show to the fact that the Greek word here, anothen, means both again and from above.
So does Jesus mean both, or does he mean one of them?
Hodges argued it should be translated, you must be born again from above.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's probably right. But having said that, I still think that it's reasonable to say born again means two births. Therefore, John 3:5 seems to be talking about two births.
Mm-hmm.
You must be born of water, physical birth, and the spirit, the second birth.
Well, one thing we have in common in both these
but
ways.
But of course, even if Hodges' view, it's the same thing, basically.
Yeah, and what we're saying here is this is certainly doesn't have anything to do with a guaranteed transformation.
Nothing.
Yes.
Nothing.
And it also does not have anything to do with Ezekiel in the sense of Ezekiel is talking about what God is going to do for the nation of Israel with the new covenant when they enter into the kingdom. And Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about the new birth.
All right, and let's put it this way. If God is guaranteeing transformation in the life of a believer, let's say this is not talking about the nation of Israel, or it's talking specifically about believers, then how much transformation?
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
In other words, it's true that if we abide in Christ and his word abides in us, then he transforms us. He changes us. But that is a gradual sort of thing. It's not the instantaneous sort of thing you see in the new covenant.
And also in the new covenant in Ezekiel, it's complete. You will walk in all my statutes. I will cleanse you from all your filth.
And by the way, I have a question for that. It's true that the Jews who are glorified are going to be fulfilling that. But there's going to be Jews in the millennium in natural bodies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not going to be perfect, right? They're going to still be sinners.
Right.
So how do we explain that? I assume this must be talking about the glorified
believers. Yeah, I would too, right.
Or it's saying, of course, we do know there's going to be some level of righteousness that is manifested in the kingdom because it's going to be a righteous kingdom. So it's possible that even Jews in natural bodies are going to be living transformed lives for the most part. In
right,
words, it would
but
be
not
proverbially
perfectly.
True,
right.
But not perfectly. I don't know. It's just something to think about.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
But anyway, I appreciate E.V. asking the question.
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of issues, the distinction between Israel and the church, corporate versus individual, a lot
right.
of things here and here. And E.V., we appreciate the question. We hope this helps.
Yes, we do.
And remember, keep
grace.
In. Focus.
Amen.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. On the next episode, is there any difference between entering the kingdom and inheriting the kingdom? Please join us next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.